Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Maria Elena Ramirez, who is starring in The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime at the Kennedy Center from October 5th through October 23rd. Maria Elena, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, if we have any Broadway fans in here, they'll remember watching the Tonys, not the Hamiltonys, but the previous year, Fun Home took home Best Musical, but they also give out Best Play, obviously, and that's what this one won. So this is like, this is big time stuff coming here. First of all, did you ever see it when it was on Broadway?
I did indeed, yeah, and was totally blown away by the show, yeah.
Awesome. And,
yeah, I was hoping I'd get a chance.
Yeah, exactly. So while you're watching it, was part of you kind of like, ooh, that's a juicy role I'd like to play?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I saw it and I thought, oh, that role would be perfect for me. And so this opportunity came up and I snatched it.
That's cool. Now, also, it was based on a novel, right? A mystery novel back in, like, 03, a British novel. Did you ever read the book before you got the role, too?
I did. The book is fantastic for anybody that's curious about it. And it's really written sort of like as a journal by our main character, Christopher Boone. And so he, you know, writes about this, which is also in our play, about this murder of a dog in his neighborhood, and he's going to try to find out who killed this dog. And so you get a little insight into his daily life and how he thinks. And it's a really fun read for anybody out there that wants to read the book. But the great thing about it is that Simon Stevens, our playwright, has taken some sections out of it. So in the play, you'll just literally get, you know, a transfer of some of the actual writing from the book. The playwright and the author of the book are actually good friends, and some of the work in the book really reads like poetry. So it was really easy for the playwright to sort of transfer some of those sections, and we put them in the play, and they're very beautiful.
That's awesome. Now I know the little boy in the play. He's a 15-year-old, but he has autism, right? Or he's on the spectrum in some way. Explain sort of how the work, the play, you know, grapples with that sort of issue, and how it colors the mystery here.
Sure. Well, the author Mark Haddon of the book and Simon Stevens of the play never actually mention or diagnose Christopher. So we don't really say anything specific about what challenges or what things he might be dealing with. But I think we like to focus on the fact that, you know, Christopher sees the world through, you know, he sees the world differently than anybody else. And it's amazing. And the whole play is seen through his eyes. So you really get some insight into how he experiences the world, through movement, through sound, through our amazing set, and it really gives you a real look into his world and how he sees it and how he deals with it.
Yeah, I think even in the book, isn't it? It's not typical chapter numbers too, right? It's not chronological numbers. It's like all prime numbers too, right?
It's all prime numbers, yeah. Which is exactly, he's an amazing mathematician. So, you know, so much of the world that he sees to him is just, he sees it, you know, very precisely in math, in, you know, yeah. So you'll see the set is on a grid, you know, the chapters are in prime numbers in the book. He loves numbers. He loves math. So, yeah, it's a big part of the play.
That's cool. Tell, who's playing your Christopher, the boy?
Our Christopher is played by the wonderful Adam Langdon, who is a recent Juilliard grad from last year. He also shares the role a couple of times a week with another fabulous actor named Ben Wheelwright, who is coming with us from the Broadway show. And they share the role because it's a very physically and, you know, emotionally demanding role. But they're both wonderful actors and people, and really bring a lot of, like, just beautiful work to the show.
And tell us a little bit about your character.
I play Siobhan, who is Christopher's teacher at the school that he attends. And they have a really great relationship in that she really understands some of the challenges he faces and is able to communicate with him in a way that he understands and appreciates, I think. And I think they have a real respect for each other. He sort of sometimes invokes her in his times of need. And she sort of appears and just to help him out. But they have a really great relationship. I think it's a relationship built on trust and respect. And I think it's a really fun, it's a fun role to play.
That's awesome. Now, as you were describing the plot, I take for granted that maybe our listeners, that you and I know what it's all about, but maybe they don't know it at all. But it might have jumped out when you said he was, you know, investigating this dog that is murdered, his neighbor's dog, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, as soon as I read that, I thought of that scene in Rear Window when they're like, "Did you kill him because he liked you?" the poor dog. But anyway, how can you sort of soothe any listeners' fears that they might say, "I don't want to go sit in the front row about watch a dog die." You know, explain sort of how, you know, it's more than just that, and it's there for a purpose.
Sure. Well, you know what I would say overall. You know, while it does start off with sort of a little bit of a murder mystery. And a young boy wanting to find out who murdered, you know, basically his best friend. But in that sort of investigation of that, he starts to find out things about himself and about his family. And it takes him on a journey that is both figurative and physical. In that he really learns a lot about the world. And like I said, his family. And this particular show is different because in telling this story, we do a lot of really, there's a lot of movement, unlike maybe some other, you know, straight plays people might see. There's a lot of music. There is an amazing set that is sort of a technological wonder. And you sort of combine all of these things together, and it really makes for a super unique theatrical event. So, you know, there's really that story is the heart of the play, but we have all of these other elements that really sort of show you again what it's like to be inside of his brain, and just really creates for like a really unique night in the theater, I think.
Definitely. So no dogs were harmed in the making of this play. Okay.
Cool. No dogs were harmed.
I have to ask, because we interviewed Bill Berlone, the famous dog trainer on Broadway. He did Annie, and also he trained Toto for The Wizard of Oz that came to town. So I just want to make sure the dogs are okay. Okay, cool.
No. We treat our fake dog very well. And we also have a rat in the show. That we also were very good too. So it's a very friendly, pet friendly show.
So is there a real dog early in the play at all, or is it just straight fake dog from the start?
We no dogs were harmed. So yeah.
No, I was just curious how you pull it off. If it's just like a shriek off stage, or how you do it. I'm curious.
Oh no, I mean, you'll have to come and see. But we do. We don't leave a lot to the imagination. Let's just say that.
Okay. So expect a little bit of a graphic thing, but nothing that you can't handle if you're expecting going.
Oh out. No. And if people are wondering about, you know, what ages are appropriate, I'd say, you know, teens on. This is not a show for children. I would say there is some language and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, just.
That's good to know, though. You know, that's actionable information for listeners. I like that. Okay, so I know Marianne Elliott directed the one on Broadway. Is she mm-hmm. still, like, does she travel with the show, or is there a new person sort of running it now?
We do have an associate director that has helped put the show back together. We did do some rehearsal with Marianne, which was amazing. And she will be stopping by to check in on us every once in a while, but we do have, most all of the creative team sort of reassembled again to put the show up. And they built the set in Rochester, and so a lot of those elements had to be put back together. So we have a lot of the British team here helping us out, which is really fun.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit about, embarrass yourself a little. Tell us a little about yourself. Where did you grow up? How did you get into acting?
Sure. I was born and raised in Salt Lake City, Utah. And
you don't pronounce it as Salt Lake City there, do you?
No, I managed to get rid of any Utah accent there is.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, and just started honing that in high school. And then at the end of high school thought, oh, you know, this might be fun to sort of explore in college. And, you know, which I wish I would have talked myself out of, but I didn't. And then ended up going to grad school for acting.
Where was the undergrad and grad?
Sure. I went to the University of Utah for undergrad, and then I hopped over to New York University for the graduate acting program they have there.
Ah, so is that what made the move to New York, and you just kind of stayed there?
Yeah. I moved for grad school, and then, you know, I've been there for quite a while now. I won't say how long, but I based my career out of New York, and I've been there for quite some time now. So I guess I'm a true New Yorker now.
That's awesome. It's the best place to be. It's better than the West Coast. Just stay there. I know on Broadway before this, you were in Larry David's Fish in the Dark. What was it like? What was it like working with him? I mean, the guy is an idol of not only me but every other Seinfeld and Curb fan out there.
It was great. We had a lot of fun on that show. You know, Larry had never done a Broadway show before, and he had written it. And so, you know, during the show, he was rewriting it every night, and just sort of like jumping into this world of being in a play. And it was really wonderful to see him just sort of, you know, he's a really hard worker, really super hard worker. You know, he, like I said, he would go home every night and do rewrites and then come in and just be, you know, game for anything really. We also had, you know, amazing just, people in the show. And it ended up just being like, you know, almost a year of just laughs and fun, and it was really fun. We had a good time.
So it's not just TV. He mastered a new domain.
He did.
What was your role in that one?
I played a nurse in that, but I also was understudying Rosie Perez at the time, so that was fun too.
The Rosie Perez. Okay.
The Rosie Perez. There's no one else like her. Yeah.
What did you? Yeah. You know, what's she like? I mean, we've all seen her in on screen, but what's she like behind the scenes?
Oh God. I mean, she's also just a wonderful person, and you know, very serious about. You know, I think you see one side of her on. You know, you know she's got this great laugh, and you. You know, you have an idea of what she's like, and she's actually just, like, very serious about her work. And has been doing this for a while and just really knows, you know, how she wants to approach things and just is really committed to a lot of different organizations and stuff. So she's, you know, and I think also like a very private person. She has this persona that people think of her as, and she's actually like much quieter and like, you know, private, but also just a really great person.
That's awesome. Now, maybe you do. Let's hit one more of your Broadway shows. I know you did Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. What?
Yes.
I am not aware of this. I immediately think Hamilton, but what is Andrew Jackson? What is that one?
That's a little, precursor to Hamilton.
Yeah. See?
Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson sort of started as this downtown. It also started at the Public, where Hamilton started, also under Oscar Eustace, was a show about our seventh president of the United States, Andrew Jackson. And it was sort of a combination of like more like an SNL skit, sort of, you know, Saturday Night Live meets, Schoolhouse Rock sort of stuff. It was, it was a rock and roll show. And it was wacky and fun and became sort of a real cult hit downtown. a lot of people came to see us. And then we moved it uptown to Broadway, where we played for a bit. So, it was really fun. It was just sort of irreverent and had a lot to say about populism. And, you know, and I, a lot of, you know, if it played now, it'd be saying the same thing it did, you know, 8 years ago, especially with the election happening now. The point of the play is, you know, people hook into a certain, you know, feeling with their president. Sometimes it has to be a real visceral emotional connection. That was what that show was about. It was crazy.
That's cool. But it wasn't all Broadway, right? You've come down to, you come down to National Theater?
Oh, yes, I did. I did a year on tour with War Horse, which was also a National Theater production, yeah.
Okay. So, but you've never been to the Kennedy Center, though, right?
No.
Talk about how exciting that's going to be.
Oh, my God. I'm beyond thrilled. I mean, you know, when you become an actor, especially if you're coming out of New York City and you're a theater actor, you usually have a list of theaters that you want to work in, you know, not only on Broadway and off Broadway and regionally, but the Kennedy Center is like definitely in, you know, like the top five. You know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I've done Broadway twice, and I've worked at so many beautiful theaters across the country. But to say I've performed at the Kennedy Center is a really big deal for me. So I'm very excited.
Awesome. Now I know this was a really small role of yours. I think you just played a neighbor, but I saw it in your credits. Sopranos. You were in Members Only, the episode. Are you serious?
Yes.
That is freaking awesome.
Yes. So I played, I don't know if anybody will remember this, but I played Uncle Junior's neighbor when he was pretending to have some sort of dementia or whatever.
Right.
And he came over to ask for some ice cream just out of the blue.
That is, but what's it like being on that set with, you know, the late Gandolfini and Edie Falco? Oh my God, that's just a treasure.
Oh my God, it was nuts. I mean, I was just excited to be a part of that whole, you know, I was like, oh, good, now I at least can say I, you know. But it was, I mean, it was amazing. And then the most amazing part was that about a year or two later, they were doing another scene at the same, you know, at the same house, and they needed the neighbor to appear. And so they called me like 2 years later, were like, will you come and play the neighbor again? And then they didn't need me to say anything at all. They just wanted the same neighbor to be there. That's how great that show was. They were very good about consistency. So that was a real treat to go back.
And weren't you also in St. Vincent with Bill Murray?
I was.
What's he like?
That replaced him in that movie.
See, you have all these like cool claims to fame. You can say, "Well, I was, you know, I was the neighbor for Uncle Junior. I replaced Bill Murray as the nanny."
I know. I always end up getting these really great, you know, roles where I'm with the main people, and they're always amazing people, like Bill Murray and, you know, Bruce Willis. And yeah, just it's nuts. Well, this lifestyle is crazy.
Well, I'm sure the young kid that plays, what is it, Christopher, will be saying that about you as well one day. He probably is already saying that. He's like, I was on stage with Maria Elena Ramirez. Oh, that's so cool. Well, all right. Well, bring it back around. You've had an awesome career. You know, why should we come out and see this? You know, maybe we've heard about it. Maybe we even saw it on Broadway. But why come out to this
version? You know, I really think, you know, I know people sometimes have an aversion to what are called straight plays. And I would say that, you know, not only is this like a really special story and an important story to tell, but it's done in a way that I don't think any other show has been done before. The combination of our technological design, the set design, the movement that we've incorporated, and there's a lot of it, just make for a really unique night in the theater. And it's a really touching story. You're going to fall in love with Christopher Boone, the main boy. It's just a really heartwarming story. And at the same time, there's just like, there's a lot to look at and a lot to enjoy and a lot to take in. So, and it's a Tony-winning show, and we are so excited to bring it around the country, and I think people are really going to respond to it.
Awesome. Well, we are excited to see it, and we thank you for bringing it down here, because not everyone can get up. Not everyone can get on the train up to Broadway all the time. So it's nice when they come down here.
Exactly.
Awesome. So again, listeners, the dates are Wednesday, October 5th through Sunday, October 23rd. Again, it's called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, at the Kennedy Center. Thanks so much.
Thank you.